Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Bond of Asway's Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Terry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
You're not strong, and I'll be your friend.
just might have a problem that you understand.
We all need somebody to lean on. If there is a load you have to bear that you can't carry, I'm right up the road. I'll share your load if you just call.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. Now, he's a part of this pretty much the biggest story in America. It is my honor to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only, we're going to say, Dr. Obeng, Dr. Michael Obeng. Thank you so much, and welcome to the broadcast. I was getting ready to work in Miracle Doctor. That was my day there. So good morning to you, and we're just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Carrie. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show this morning.
And to share
my experience with the audience.
Wonderful. Well, I have to jump right on in. And we're talking about the amazing work that you have done with Miss Tessica Brown. Now, it has been reported everywhere and across the internet. We're talking about huge in terms of the notoriety that's been, you know, reached about the story. In terms of Tessica, somehow with the gorilla glue that she placed in her hair, and everybody knows the story. Well, what we don't know, and what you might be able to tell us, is what prompted her beyond what we've seen in the reported, gossip and this and that. What can you tell us that might shed some light on how this, because you would have had to kind of, I imagine, delve into that a little bit so you know how best to treat it. So what can you share with us today, Dr. Obeng?
Thank you very much, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Kristen. What happened with Tessica was very unfortunate. You know, it's one of those honest mistakes, you know, that somebody ran out of something they thought they can use an alternative on a temporary basis. And it would turn into a month ordeal and a worldwide fanfare. And, of course, you know, these accidents happen all the time. And it's not just with hair or hairspray. You know, it happens all the time when people are, you know, washing their mouth with the wrong mouthwash and so on and so forth. And I think the world should give Tessica a break. You know, women go through a lot with their hair, especially black women. And, to get a bottle of a gorilla spray, glue spray to spray to her head, thinking that she can wash it off, you know, in a few hours, you know, being that has turned into a national story, you know, a worldwide fanfare, is something of a cautionary tale for all of us. And that's what I can say to that.
Well, I have to kind of add to that. I looked at everything when I started researching this, and I kind of looked at both the product that I believe she typically used and ran out of versus the product that she used. And honestly, there was, in my opinion, this is Carrie Hines, there was like a similar kind of description from me, from my words. So to me, you know, I can understand how somebody might do something like that, especially in a sense of, you know, when you're desperate and want your hair to look a certain way. You know, these are the, you know, how a lot of folks have been kind of pushed to that limit in terms of that. That's the bigger, broader story now seems to be hitting out there. But I want to kind of take a moment to kind of turn to your the questions that folks have asked me to ask you about the process and so forth. So can you walk us through because you created this concoction, if you will, I hate the word concoction, but you created, you know, you did some research and came up with, you know, what to use to kind of alleviate the situation, to remedy this, you know, this situation. So how can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, so when the story first broke and we got wind of it, and my office asked me if I can help it, and of course I said I can. You know, of course I didn't know it was a national sensation or something that had taken the whole world by storm. You know, I just said in confidence and in gratuity that, you know, pretty much anything I can think of, I can do it through the Lord who has strengthened, you know, who strengthens me. But when I found out it was Gorilla Glue and it became a reality, after I said, yes, I can do it, and within 2-3 hours later, you know, I was getting confirmatory message that, okay, she's going to be here 2 days later, which was on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, I said, sure. So, of course, you know, I'm not in the field that uses Gorilla Glue all the time. I've heard of Gorilla Glue or Crazy Glue, but I don't know what was in it. Once I heard about it, I knew I was going to do it. You know, with any good, any good visionary or great visionary, you want to go look into and do research into what you're about to do. And if you are not used to it, you know, you have to delve into the problem much deeper. So of course, I had to Google Gorilla Glue, and I had to Google the main ingredient, which happens to be polyurethane, which is a very very, very strong adhesive that, you know, goes back, that was born into America, I think, in the early 1990s from the Southeast Asia, where it was being used for furniture manufacture. Then I then decided, okay, what can then dissolve polyurethane? You know, what are some of the solvents available? And having a chemistry background, you know, helped. So I was able to find out the different things that can break it down. But now, we are not talking about just breaking something down on the surface, but this is on a human skin or human scalp. And, of course, being a doctor also tells me that if you put caustic solutions or caustic substances on the body, on the scalp, it can potentially burn it. So now we have to find a fine balance between something that was gentle to the skin or the scalp and something that was effective enough to dissolve this powerful glue. And after the research that I did in the last 2 days, on Monday night, Tuesday night, and also making a call to Gorilla Glue and my old chemistry professor just to pick his idea, his brain.
Wow.
And made me come up with something. Of course, Gorilla Glue never reached back to me. They texted me that they tried to reach me. But by the time they texted me, I think Wednesday morning, I had already figured it out. Done experiments on the mannequin, on the skull that I have, one of those surgical skulls that I used to use when I used to teach residents how to put plates and screws in people's faces, and that sat in front, you know, that sits in my office. So, you know, we're fortunate enough to get hair donated by the Southern Temple here in Beverly Hills. Southern Temple. They gave me human hair. Veronica gave me human hair. We put the hair onto the skull. And then, you know, went to the Glory Group. So my staff, Oscar Garcia, my assistant, went to Home Depot to buy me Gorilla Glue and buy me all the things that I needed, you know.
Wow.
And we were able to spray, and I still have it here in my office, and it's stuck to this car. You know, I spray it around holding the hair. So what we first did was to glue the human hair donated by Southern Temple to this car, and then we glue hair extensions on top of the human hair. And then we let it sit for about 6 hours, and then the solution that I've tried on myself initially burned my, you know, it burned. We do what's called test spots, so it burned a little burn, which is fine. If you use a little Q-tip and it burns, that means it's going to burn the scalp. So after we find the right solution that was hard, was gentle to my skin, I knew it was going to be gentle to scalp, and we used it on the mannequin or on this call, the demo I had created, and the hair started to unravel. So, but you know, back then and then, I knew that we had a product that can dissolve human, you know, that can dissolve Gorilla Glue. And when Tessica arrived on Wednesday morning, I was very confident, without a doubt, that it was going to be successful. And by the grace of God, everything went well, and you know, she's back in Louisiana doing well.
Absolutely, and we are so proud to hear of that. We really are. One of the questions that came in from one of my followers and fans of the show, they wanted to know if the treatment that you provided, like, you know, did it have any effect on her, the hair follicles, you know, on her hair follicles? Because, you know, it's so, you know, you have to be so careful, like you said. It's, you know, in terms of preventing, like, long-term damage or anything like that. Is there anything that you could tell us about, you know, because she seems to be really happy. I think I caught some videos where she was running her fingers through her hair and all of that. So did the glue go all the way down inside the follicles? Anything that you could tell us on that part?
So you know, initially, of course, things can penetrate to hair follicles whenever you put stuff on your scalp or your skin. So with that, so I can tell you that the glue initially would have gotten to the follicles. Of course, it would temporarily burn because of the fact that it's caustic in nature. It would temporarily burn. I mean, it would burn a little bit, but and it might have some temporary effect on the hair follicles. But I think all in all, she's going to recover. And then the solution that we used was very gentle. Gentle enough that it's not going to hurt her follicles. It hasn't hurt my hair follicles, so hopefully it shouldn't hurt her hair follicles. Yeah,
well, now, what about... Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to ask you, what about subsequent follow-ups? Is this going to be something that you're going to have to work with her ongoing, or is she just going to be able to just resume, you know, her life as it was before this happened?
Yeah, she should be back to normal life, you know, but I told her to be very gentle with her hair and her scalp, you know, just to, in simplicity terms, just to treat her like a newborn baby. You know, you don't want to put harsh chemicals. Everything that she uses should be very gentle in nature. And I recommend using baby shampoo, baby conditioner, just things that has nothing that is harmful to, or that can also cause that can also compromise an already compromised, scalp.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Obeng, I do want to take a moment because I understand that there is a charitable organization that you are associated with or helped establish that I just love, you know, what I read about this and helping the folks over in Ghana. And we have so many listeners who tune in from Ghana to the show. They're big fans.
Wow.
So... Yeah, so I'm not, and I know them, a lot of them by name, so that's not just me saying anything. So I'm so proud.
Thank you for getting my Ghanaian people involved, you know, and shout out to them, you know. It took a village to get me to America, and at the tender age of 20, when I left home, to come to college here, you know, of course, you know, 28 years, almost 30 years later, the Lord has blessed me so much that, you know, we decided, you know, growing up in Ghana, I saw a lot of diseases and illnesses, you know, and deformities that were attributed to witchcraft, you know, people at the time. And some of the belief is still there, you know, in the remote areas, you know, of people still think that children with deformities are cursed. And, you know, the little gods, you know, witches, you know, they are cursed and their families are cursed. That's why they come out like that. They don't understand that we have the same issues here in the Western world, in America, that kids are born with cleft lip, cleft palate, and these are normal kids. It's just that, you know, during the developmental state, developmental process, things did not go according to plan. You know, things, there were like little mishaps, and that's why these kids have deformities. And these kids can be treated, and they can have normal life, you know. The field of plastic surgery became known to me at a tender age, I believe, around 13 to 15, when I witnessed firsthand the works of Operation Smile when they came to Ghana and did surgery on a neighbor. The beautiful young lady I grew up with, her brother, her face had been burned with sulfuric acid, which was very commonplace growing up in Ghana. You can go buy acid and they use it for your cars, you know, to add it to the battery. And this young, this man put acid on the young lady's face because she didn't want to be in a relationship with him. And her face was burned and she became a recluse. She never really left her home. And, you know, I saw the firsthand what Operation Smile did. And, of course, you know, I didn't see Operation Smile during the surgery, but I asked my friend, wow, what happened to your sisters? Oh, there's a group of doctors from America came to Ghana, you know, came and did this surgery on her. And, you know, I saw the restoration of hope, you know, that this young lady has. So from that day, I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. So fast forward, in 1998, 99, one of my mentors, Dr. Miller, John Miller, when surgery, I was in training at the time. I think I was a third-year medical student. Dr. Miller was doing surgery. He's a plastic surgeon, a hand surgeon. And he looked at me and said, Michael, you are from Ghana, right? I said, yeah. I said, why don't we go to Ghana and do free surgery? Now, he's the one who put the seed in my head in 1998-99. And, of course, I knew that, you know, the Lord has blessed me. And, you know, when the Lord, you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's
so
right.
So, 2006, when I was in Boston at Harvard doing my fellowship, that's when the name Restore came to my head. You know, Restore is the name of my nonprofit organization. And it stands for Restoring Emotional Stability Through Outstanding Reconstructive Efforts. And since 2007, we've been to Africa, we've been to Central America, Southeast Asia, and we have done over 1,500 surgeries, all free of charge.
That is amazing.
And last year when COVID hit, we decided to start offering help in our own backyard. Of course, you know, we still help people, you know, every year. I'm a big breast cancer advocate and breast reconstruction advocate. I happened to be the first one in Los Angeles area to host the first Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day that was launched by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons in 2012. Hosted an event to educate women about their rights to breast reconstruction. So charity has always been a forefront of mine, and I've always joked around that if I was a trust fund baby, I'll be going to developing countries doing free surgery, or even here in America, offering help to people who cannot navigate through the complex process of our healthcare.
That's
why Restore is so important and so dear to my heart.
Wow. Well, we are just blown away. And for folks who are just joining us, we're talking today on the Hair Radio Morning Show with the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng from out in Beverly Hills. Now, we understand that you work with the director of Miko Plastic Surgery out in Beverly Hills. How is all of that and your work there? Does that play a part in you taking on some of these extra efforts and helping, you know, folks who are in such need with plastic surgery?
So Miko Plastic Surgery is my practice here in Beverly Hills. We've been here for 10 years.
Wow.
And it has been the engine behind my charity. You know, the money that we make from here is supposed to charity. This charity has been supported, you know, largely in part by the efforts of, you know, our practice here, the staff and friends, about 75% and 25% of donations from other sources. You know, and so it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that the Lord has blessed me enough to give me a practice that can fund, you know, to help other people in need, free of charge. And, you know, for those of you guys listening, you know, we are here. We are here to serve the general public. You know, we offer, you know, the true breadth of plastic surgery, of course, my the entire staff and colleagues. You know, so we do everything here. I like to do more faces and breast and body procedures. And then I have colleagues here who does other things. But, you know, this practice has been the engine behind Restore. And for those of you listening, if you want to help and spread the love and restore more hope and function and put smiles on people's faces and change communities, you guys can go to restoreworldwide.org. Every donation is appreciated, you know, and no amount of money is little, you know. So we thank you guys, you know, for tuning in to listen to me and to share my story with you guys. And you guys can also follow us at Dr. Michael K. Obeng. That's my full name. And also at Restore Worldwide. That's the Restore's social media handle. Thank you very much, Kerry.
It's been my pleasure. I have to say again, thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Obeng. This has just been a big thing, and you've helped to clarify a whole lot and shine light on all of this. And we're going to continue to support and follow you out there in California. We're in New York, so we're going to continue, and everybody's listening from all over the world to this today. So thanks again. And let me just give a shout-out to your team. They are amazing. We love them over here at Hair Radio. They've been awesome in helping us coordinate everything. So thanks to you and, of course, your team. Dr. Michael Obeng, we're going to call you the miracle doctor. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye. You got it. All right, have a good day. Thanks so much.
And I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Gary Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
But radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, in television, your tube goes a minute just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, have you?
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Hmm. Okay, but do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It is my honor to bring back, after 6 or 7 long years, to the Hair Radio Morning Show, the one and only, let me just say this, she is the very first board-certified trichologist in the western part of the United States. Again, it's my honor to welcome back the one and only Dr. Linda Emerson. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show officially.
Good morning, Kerry. Thank you so much for having me back. I am truly, truly honored to be back and to share some information with your listening audience with you.
Absolutely. Well, I've got to explain, because this is the craziest thing in the world. You've actually, our listeners are familiar with you because we've been running the last appearance on this show for almost 10 years. It's been a long time. And I said, it's got to be time to bring Dr. Linda Emerson back to the show. And your information has helped so many listeners around the world who've tuned into the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you so much for just sharing your knowledge and taking the time to do so with our audience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. My
pleasure. Well, you did good. You did good. And I have to say, and one of my favorite things about this is we've been on, the Hair Radio Show's been on in different versions and variations for about 25 years. And the last version has been on for 6 years here on Blog Talk. However, you were on before that, technically. You were actually on before we even launched this show. And since we launched, we're up to about almost 550 shows. So that is just amazing. It's been a while since we've chatted. And even though I've been hearing your voice. So real good stuff. Well, listen, Dr. Emerson, let me go ahead and jump right on in. Because first of all, you are a trichologist and a very respected trichologist. You know, long before it's become fashionable for folks to just call themselves, per se, you know, a trichologist or, you know, being in the field of trichology, you truly, truly have been leading the charge on healthy hair care. But I want to talk about first, let's just, for the listeners who have no idea what trichology is, we have folks who are in the industry as well as who are not. And so, I'm sure, have questions. What is a trichologist? Share that with everybody.
Absolutely. The actual definition of a trichologist is an expert in hair loss and scalp disorder conditions. So we take hair science to a completely new level. So we're actually getting to the root of the root of the problem microscopically, and we will look at a combination of internal and external factors. And there are so many contributing factors that may occur within an individual. That's why it's so important that it is a case-by-case basis. So I love what I do. This profession has really been very rewarding just to see the transformation which has occurred with men, women, and children.
That's right, because trichology can affect just about anybody.
Absolutely.
And as you said, and it's hard for us to really, I think the general public, I'll say, to really get a good understanding or wrap their brain around, because it's so, those factors are almost limitless, you know, I mean, or whatever that word, innumerable. There's so many. But what can you say to start folks out? Because I think it's important that we first recognize that we have to take our hair seriously. And by our hair, I mean everybody. I mean, you have to really be focused on doing, you know, taking good care of your hair. And what might that entail, Dr. Emerson?
Absolutely. Hair is a barometer of imbalances within the system. So when a person begins to see any types of physical changes with their hair, breakage, hair shedding, patchy alopecia, when it comes out in patches, these could be oval or round. If your hair texture changes, it becomes more brittle. If it becomes finer, if you just notice just a total change in your hair textures, these are indications that something is wrong. So hair is a barometer, and there could be, you know, for example, there could be a change in medication, which can influence the change in the hair. There could be dietary changes as far as different types of weight loss options. And it seems like every month, Carrie, there's a new weight loss
yes.
pill or product or procedure.
Or challenge, as we call it.
Or a challenge, yes. And people are always trying to lose weight. They want the quick fix instead of really finding out, well, what is really some of the main contributing causes for this weight gain? Is it poor food choices? Is it, and I'm going to say this, they love sugar. You know, we have consumers that love sugar. So sugar in the metabolism, that can turn into unhealthy weight gain. So they're just different things, and it's a case-by-case basis. It could be another example could be lifestyle change. If there is a someone who's going through a divorce or a separation, which can lead to depression, which can lead to, you know, other factors in that manner. Lack of exercise. You know, consumers, we need movement in your body. You need movement. So this helps with not only your physical health, but also your mental health. So movement, not only exercising, walking. Walking is one of the easiest and cost-effective ways of exercise. So if you put it into your routine at least 3 to 4, even 5 times per week, be consistent with that movement, and you will be surprised at how your body will respond to weight loss. Also, your joints will get used to being more mobile, and it helps with your digestive system. It's just very, very beneficial.
I love it. This is the kind of information that we need to get out to everybody. Dr. Emerson, would you be kind enough to share with everybody, because a lot of what you were just saying, I was picturing in my head trying to match up the alopecias that kind of, you know, can result from some of these things. And I said, maybe just spend, you know, give us a couple of the top ones, because I know there's so many of those. Yeah. And there's some tongue twisters, so please take it away.
Okay, absolutely. Okay, so as you and I were talking about the traction alopecia.
Yes, my favorite.
So that is definitely a very common disorder that I see. Now, with traction alopecia, that is excessive pulling of the hair, and it is most commonly from hairstyles and hair care practices.
That's right.
So many of you consumers, you love the braid style. You want to make sure that the person who's braiding your hair does not use excessive tension, especially around the outer perimeter of your hair. If you braid your own hair, make sure you are very conscientious of not using excessive tension. And then we have the weaves, and then we have the lace front. Those are other things that also can contribute to traction look-alike. So when I say look-alike with the lace front, many of you are using bonding glue. You're using the tape to keep that hair in place. And then we have other adhesives that are being used, which should not be used on the skin and on the outer perimeter. And Those types of ingredients can be very, very devastating to the outer perimeter as well. But back to the traction. So we have the weaves, and we have the braids, and then we have other types of hairstyles that cause a little bit of tension there so that the hair looks neat. But the number one thing I would like to emphasize is make sure that there is not excessive tension used in the outer perimeters. If you see any signs of pimples on your scalp, that is an indication that the hair is too tight with that particular hairstyle.
Why is it that we think, and I'm just saying from what I've observed, and even in my, got my own hair done, with braids and cornrows and all of that. But why is it that we desire, we feel that we want it to look like it's so, you know, all the way in our scalp, literally, like the more, the closer and the tighter it needs to feel that it's not, you know what I mean, it's not tight enough. If you don't feel it, that pressure, you know, so, and that is not necessarily a healthy thing at all. To have that kind of thinking. So folks need to be aware of that, especially as you pointed out, and I love that, and that's the outer perimeter. of the hair where it is your, very, very sensitive to. Because, see, once that, and this is what happens because, and I think while we're on a subject, we probably need to speak to that, which is the hair loss, you know, where the edges, you know, is so critical. And so what are some things that we can tell and share with everybody that they can do long before there's ever a problem with their edges? Maybe what's the best way to always take care of your edges? And then for those who may have experienced some hair loss challenges there.
The main thing I would like to emphasize is stop being so focused on your image and consider the health of your hairline. You want to keep the integrity of your hair intact. And that is by not being so focused on the image. It has to be laid down. You know, a lot of people say, I've got to slay my hair.
Yeah.
Well, when you slay it, there's an excessive amount of processes, just to be, you know, using a common terminology that is very common that I see. So a lot of times also it could be the person who is either a professional or just a braider. A lot of times that's lack of their knowledge as far as proper hair care. They're more focused on the styling. The style looks good on their clients and other consumers. However, the health of their scalp and hair is not important to them.
And that has to be important to you, the client, or the customer, because it's got to be important to somebody if you plan on having hair.
Yes,
somebody has
absolutely.
To really, you know.
Yes.
And that's
the
thing.
Yeah.
Because my thing is also with the, you know, we're looking and we see all these wonderful images on TV, and as you said, we've been kind of focused on the imagery. Not realizing that some of these styles may not be well suited for our textures. And that is really an important thing. Just because, you know, someone else has a style, it may not work for you. And that is really something that's very, very important, to get across. Every style is not for everybody because everybody's hair is different, I think, you know, or might react differently. Or whatever. But, you know, so thank you for that on Trichology. I love that on Traction Alopecia, I should say, and Trichology and Understanding. I love it. Now, you know, you are located where, Dr. Emerson? Where are you based out of?
I am in Arlington, Texas.
Arlington, Texas. Now, Texas has been making a lot of the news in recent weeks and so forth, weather-wise. So first of all, how are you doing out there? And is there anything you could tell us about the folks of Texas and during these weather troubled times?
Yes. Texas, oh my goodness. We had a winter storm that came in our area. And this is the first time that we've had below degrees that have impacted our entire state with it impacted us. So, personally speaking, I didn't see it for like 2 days. And I did have water. I did light my fireplace. Yes, I had a fireplace, so I lit my fireplace. And I was able to, you know, sometimes you have to go into survival mode.
Right.
So I was able to heat my food in the fireplace. To have my hot meals. Yes. Now I had some other food that was ready. I had some sandwiches and, you know, that I made, which was something quick. But I had made some homemade chili on that Sunday before everything was shut down. And I said, I want some chili on Monday. I said, how am I going to heat it up? I don't have any electricity. And so I have a fireplace, which is going to allow me to have some heat. And I used one of my skillets, and it was a done deal.
Wow. So you brought the old Wild West back to life. Oh, my goodness.
And I went into survival mode. Now, I did have an offer from a relative who lives in the area for me to drive over to her home. Yes. However, she's like 15 minutes from where I am, and I chose not to drive in those inclement conditions because there was ice everywhere. There was some snow, but there was a lot of ice on the road, and that just does not make for driving conditions to be very safe.
Dr. Amerson, I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and we have listeners all over the country and even outside of America who are tuned in and listening to you right now.
Yes.
I don't understand, what made this storm so gigantic that it caused such damage to Texas? Like, you know, we face storms all the time here, not by just making comparisons, you know, willy-nilly. But what was it that just made Texas so, you know, damaged and devastated?
Well, the main issue was the agency that was over the electrical system. They decided they were going to stop electricity in certain areas and do a control rolling type of electricity throughout the state, which did not occur. So initially they told us they were going to have like shut off the electricity for between 15 minutes to 45 minutes. So that it wouldn't be, it would not overload the electrical system.
Okay.
Well, that didn't happen. So a lot of people lost power for, you know, some days, some people the entire week. They had no electricity.
Wow.
So
this is very unbelievable.
Yes. And then there's more. So at my home, that's what occurred as far as the survival there. At my business, I had two of my pipes that burst in my business. Completely flooded my entire office.
Unreal. Unreal.
So I had to, yes. So we had to do the cleanup of all that water, and there was so much water throughout my entire business. But my landlord, I have a wonderful landlord, that we were able to extract it very quickly. The pipes, we were able to get those repaired. And so now I'm still in the cleanup process and trying to get up and running, but I will be temporarily closed for several weeks.
Oh, so you, wow. See, this
is
where
it's
unreal.
Yes.
Wow. And is it the state senator who was caught on camera trying to take a trip to Mexico that's all over the news? I said, the senator, elected senator, I was just in shock.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Ted Cruz, yes.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just floored by this story. And it, and believe it or not, as of this day, the story's not going away. They are keeping him on the hot seat on this one.
Yes, he's in the hot seat.
He's definitely in the hot seat and in hot water, literally, because I'm just blown away. And then, you know, blaming it on the kids. I mean, it's just, the story just is horrible from every which way. It's like the worst decision ever.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of bad decisions, Dr. Amerson, and for you guys just joining us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have just a wonderful old friend who you feel like just like a warm blanket, Dr. Amerson. You've been with us. You're so full of knowledge about hair loss and just so successful at what you do. And we just so appreciate you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We've listened to you for many years. And so real excited to have you with us this morning. Just remind everybody, you were the very first board-certified trichologist in the western part of the United States of America. How does that make you feel?
You know, it's wonderful. It feels wonderful to have inspired other, you know, other trichologists who would like to get into the field and see that there's a need, because there's definitely a need for consumers to get help with their problems. So I'm very, very honored.
Well, we are the true beneficiaries of this amazing experience that you have, and we're very grateful here at the show. Now, I have to say, I was about to lead into one of the biggest stories that is, you know, talk about abuse. you talk about maybe some way that that women are under such pressures to keep, you know, to maintain and use different products and this and that, and just not being all that aware. And even if you are aware, but maybe not realizing that your hair, to me, I've always learned, the very first thing I learned, you know, 3 decades ago, if not longer, is that your hair is so precious. It's precious. So that's what I always learned. And anything that's precious, you need to take care of it. That's my opinion about it. But I want to come to the professional. We've got you on here. So Dr. Emerson, what can you say? You've heard about the Gorilla Glue Girl. I'm sure everybody in America has heard about this lady. So what do you say? What's your take on the situation?
You know, I had reached out to her to try to assist her even before she, you know, was contacted by the surgeon.
Yeah.
But, and the first thing I said was there's got to be a compound that they need to find out what is the compound that's going to break down the active ingredient in that glue.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the doctor did.
Exactly.
But she definitely was very, very image conscientious, and she made a very bad choice, very, very bad choice. And even after the surgery, I've noticed in less than a week, you know, she got her hair cut, and she has another style, not thinking.
I saw.
Her scalp is still not healthy. She needs to allow her scalp to heal. And I would absolutely love to analyze the scalp. I have reached out to her numerous times. I would love to analyze her scalp just to see what the overall health looks like.
Yes, because I believe she's going to need, I think if I were in that situation, I think I would have a trichologist would be my best friend. I wouldn't even want to put anything in my, I would be scared to death putting things in my hair.
Yeah.
If I just really would.
Yeah.
I would literally have some version of PTSD or whatever they call it, because to me, this, you know, if this was huge and really it signifies something, I think it means something, that this story has gripped so many people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I have to admit, at first I did get a chuckle from it before I knew all the stories and the factors and things, but I had no idea until I really delved into it what was going on here. And then I realized that we have a beautiful young lady who just really made a poor decision. And even if we know nothing else, haven't we all made bad decisions at some point in our lives? Haven't we all looked to have somebody say, now, maybe not this drastic, because to me, when I saw, and she, from what everybody understands, and even from her own mouth, as we've heard in some of these videos, she knew exactly what she was doing. She made that decision. But and when I did my research, to be honest with you, the can of both of the sprays, the descriptions somewhat, In my opinion, were similar. Now, I'm not saying she misunderstood, took one for the other or whatever, you know, by mistake. She did. I don't think she reached and just grabbed the wrong can. But the descriptions, if you are thinking that you're desperate and something says, you know, it's going to hold things in place, and you've used it. She admitted she's used it around the house. You know, and she thought that that would be real good. She was just going to come home and wash it out. It doesn't quite work like that.
Some things you do not use on your hair. No, that's
true.
One of them. That's definitely
I'm
one
sorry.
Of them.
Yeah, it's still because it's hard to process for us. It really is. That's probably why the story just, you know, has so many legs to it. Because it is very difficult for us to put ourselves in that situation. It is. But, you know, but there are a lot of women who are looking, and men. It's not just the women. It's all of us. That I think from time to time, we may think that we could just substitute products. And see, when I looked at this spray, the Gorilla Glue, in my opinion, and I just, again, being very positive about this company, because I don't know, you know, the company has been upright and in my opinion. But when I saw that they tell you exactly the uses, the proper use, and have pictures on their product, as if you couldn't still figure it out by the words. So I couldn't see where it's anything that you could lay blame to these people, in my opinion. So, you know, that's all. But she seems like a lovely young woman who just made a poor decision. And she has, and in my opinion, I believe she's paid the price, because the internet can really make you regret coming and putting it out there. And, you know, so we wish her well. And the doctor, the surgeon who has, he's a friend to the Hair Radio Morning Show, so we're going to shout out Dr. Obeng. Let me just go ahead and put that on out there. He's been featured on our broadcast, and he really and explained exactly what you just said and broke it all down for us and all of that. So we certainly wish her well and wish him well. And I love that she has tried to help his charity by donating the funds that she raised to his charity, and he deals with, you know, folks with the disfigurements and all these things. I mean, really heavy stuff for me. I could barely, like, make it through his site, you know. I'm not a doctor or anything like that, so I could barely do, but I just love his personality and his, what is that, where that folks are always looking to help others, like yourself, Dr. Emerson, not unlike you, so real good stuff out there.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you.
Yeah, so I just had to get it out there. Now, we started to talk about folks who are looking to embark upon a career in trichology. And so a lot of folks, again, not all, and I want to make this clear, because if you're not in the hair or beauty industry, you may not realize that hairstylists are not necessarily all that familiar with trichologists to begin with, but they are not trichologists just because they're a hairstylist. Can you explain all of that, Dr. Emerson, because that's an important point.
Absolutely, absolutely. In the field of trichology, okay, so there are different levels now that is available. When I first looked into this particular expertise, there was only one option, which was to become a certified or board-certified trichologist.
Yeah.
So now I want your listening audience to know that there is a level which includes the hair loss practitioner.
Yes,
and then there's the certified trichologist, and then there's a board-certified trichologist. So there are different levels. And I could use nursing as another example. There are different levels in nursing. Mm. So you have the CNA, and then you have the LVN, then you have
the registered
CNA,
the
registered, and then you have the nurse practitioner. So
that's right.
Just to give a comparison.
And I got to shout out nurses, because my mom was an LPN. She was a licensed practical nurse back in the old days.
Okay.
I have to shout out the first, you know, the first responders who are doing so much during this pandemic time.
Thank you for mentioning
that.
Absolutely.
So, wow. So
there are different levels, and you must go to school. You must attend a reputable school which has the program intact for in order for you to take your profession to the next level. So a person must be a licensed cosmetologist or barber, and they must enroll in a school. So just because you hear the term trichologist, that does not mean that a person may have the credentials in order to assist you. And as you had mentioned earlier, Carrie, you know, some people are using the term very loosely now. And they may have been dealing with hair loss clients when they do different types of wigs or different types of hair coverings. It's totally different. It's totally different. So they're covering up the problem, whereas a trichologist is trying to find out what has caused the problem And is there a resolution to the problem?
Absolutely. What I love about this, I remember decades ago, and when I first kind of got into and doing the hair radio show, I remember going to live events like Bronner Brothers and other shows, even like my own Hair Nation Expo out there years ago, long before, you know, I embarked upon doing live events for the hair community. I remember mentioning the word trichology, and this professionals, the hairstylists, had no idea what I was talking about at the time. I remember that very well.
Yeah.
And to see it come to where this, and I'm like, hold it. So, so I love what you said about getting the credentials. And the other aspect, Dr. Emerson, Dr. Linda Emerson, if you would be kind enough to explain the difference, because then we have to toss in the dermatologist. So how does the dermatologist, we got the hairstylist, we got the dermatologist, and of course we have the trichologist. So how does all this work?
Well, there's a specialist for every part of the body. So with the trichologist, it's a hair and scalp expert. Even though we do network with other professionals. So, for example, if a person is having a scalp infection, that's beyond our realm. So we will refer them to a dermatologist or the medical doctor for that. And then if a person is having a foot issue, they go to a podiatrist. That's not our issue.
And I got to shout out, our big sponsor is Dr. Yolanda Ragland, who is a podiatrist out there, and she does Fix Your Feet. They're hearing all the FixYourFeet.com commercials on our show today, so I just had to, she would never forgive me if I didn't mention that. So go right in.
Yeah, so absolutely. So we refer, you know, our individuals, some clients need referrals for issues that they're going through, even a psychologist, even a psychiatrist for certain conditions. There's a condition known as trichotillomania, where a person pulls out their own scalp hair. This is self-inflicted. So the underlying cause must be dealt with by a professional, by a psychiatrist. Now, we can only help externally, but working together is how that person will get the maximum healing that they need. And that's the main agenda that I take under consideration.
Absolutely. And I love what you just said, working together, because, you know, I've had a lot of folks on the Hair Radio Morning Show over the years, and some come, and there's almost a confrontational attitude towards the dermatologist. And I've, you know, it's either us or them kind of thing, not all, because we've had some amazing psychologists on as well, who certainly that's not what they subscribe to. But it's important that, that's why I love what you said, it's a team, and even for their stylists, everybody is on the same team, right?
Right, right.
Awesome. Well, now I've got to turn to your company. I want to talk about Dr. Linda Emerson. You have products. You have your own place out there to assist folks with hair loss. Please talk to us about your amazing business, Dr. Emerson.
Absolutely. So I have had my clinic now for 40 years.
Oh,
and I love what I do, servicing men, women, and children who have issues with alopecia, scalp disorder conditions. We also offer different types of treatment therapies that are non-invasive. We've been very successful with transforming the lives of many consumers. We also incorporate two microscopes during the analysis. So we use a polarized microscope as well as a trichologist. So this is, again, we're using hair science to see what actually is deficient or lacking within the internal structure of the hair bulb and the hair string that will help with that transformation. And then we also have our own exclusive product line. We have a manufacturing facility in Texas who manufactures our products. They have done a wonderful job with our own formula. And then we also love to give back. We host an annual scholarship. And this is for a young person who has been diagnosed with alopecia between the ages of 16 through 19 is our niche market. So either they're about to graduate from high school or are currently in the first or second year of college.
Sure, yes.
So we give a monetary scholarship to them to help them with their education. They must be pursuing a continuing education, either college or a trade school of some kind.
That is awesome.
Yes, thank you, thank you. So we are in our eighth year, and we're asking the public to help us spread the word. The deadline is May 31st. We will announce our winner in June, and we will do the advertisement from June through September. And in September is National Alopecia Awareness Month, and that is when we will give our annual scholarship.
I am loving it, and I'm hoping that you will continue to, you know, keep us abreast here on the air. We're going to be having to check in with you on this. I think this is incredible and
thank you.
So beneficial for the community. So really good stuff and the students. Because, you know, we want to put our best foot forward with these, you know, these young folks who are going to help just make such a difference in, you know, in with the lives of the folks out there. So good stuff. Well, I'm excited. Now, I don't know if we mentioned the name of your clinic. Yeah, share with everybody the name and how we can find out more information.
It is LA's Hair and Scalp Clinic. We do have a website, which is hairandscalpessentials.com. hairandscalpessentials.com. Please tune in to our podcast, which is on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. as Dr. Amerson. And we're on dfwiradio.com. We are on all other social medias. You can find us on LinkedIn, on Twitter. We are also on Facebook. We have four different pages. But on Facebook, we have a radio page, which is Ask the Hair and Scalp Doctor. We have our business page, which is Hair and Scalp Essentials. And then we have a group page, All About Hair and Scalp Issues, and then our other personal page is Linda Amerson. So please connect with us on our website. Oh, let me not forget my YouTube channel. We have a YouTube channel.
Oh, Dr. Amerson, you've left no stone unturned. What is your YouTube channel? I love it.
Yes, thank you, thank you. So our YouTube channel is just pull up Dr. Linda Amerson, put that in, and I will come right up. And you can look at some of our videos, our testimonials. On our website, we have a long list of testimonials we have received throughout the years, global testimonials. You can read about our magazines. We are journalists for over 74 national magazine publications. So some of you may have read some of our articles and did not realize that I had written those particular articles. Yes.
We are just loving it. And you know what? We're going to continue with these discussions, and we're not waiting seven more years. We're not waiting. That's not going to happen. We're going to stay involved and on top. And I've got to let the listeners know, and maybe because, you know, we always run back to your amazing original interview here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, which we're going to get on at some point, either before this or after this today for our listeners. But it just reminds me that we have to really, you know, reach out and stay involved on a regular basis. I follow you, and you've got many followers of your own, of course. But I got to remember that, you know, we got to keep you sharing everything with everybody else in our audience. So I want to make certain and stay on top of that. Well, Dr. Amerson, is there anybody, before we close out today, that you'd like to shout out to? Or any last thoughts?
Anyone I'd like to shout out to? I'll shout out to two of my professors. in trichology, Dr. Tariq Majoon and Dr. Sandra Baldy.
Okay.
And
awesome.
Just to your listening audience, thank you so much for tuning in today. And
awesome.
Just please take care of your health during this pandemic that we're going through. Wear your face mask. Please wash your hands and take all of the precautionary measures that the CDC and other health professionals are recommending. And that's how we're going to come out of this positively, because
right.
it is just unreal that to date we have, what, over 500,000?
100,000, that's right.
People
that's
that
right.
have lost their lives.
Perished. Yeah.
So just
yeah.
please take care of yourself and your family, and take your supplement. And that will be my final thought today.
Well, that is just perfect. And there's nothing for me to add to that. Okay. I have to say, Dr. Linda Emerson, again, we just adore you and appreciate you here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. Thank you so much for keeping us informed and on all that you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
You've got it. All right. Okay, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, the ones with the beard. Do you want that beard tame? Do you want it shiny and well-groomed, not dusty or shaggy? Well, try this. Carapi Beard Oil.
Hey,
it's all natural. It stops breakage. It grows your beard and mustache. This even moisturizes your skin beneath. Did I mention that it smells amazing? Come on. I dare you to try it. You can find it with the Salon TV app or at Carapi.com. Did I mention that it smells amazing?
There's a well-known saying, home is where the heart is. And not just your heart, but your hair. Home Hair Solutions is an all-organic styling and conditioning product line that's available at SalonNiquelle.com. The HOME in Home Hair Solutions is an acronym. H is for hydration, O is for oil, M is for moisture, and E is for earth. It doesn't get much better than that. A complete line of cleansers and hair mounds that will keep your hair looking great and you feeling great about what you're using in your hair. Home Hair Solutions is the answer. Go to SalonNiquelle.com for more details. That's S-A-L-O-N. In like Nancy, IQUEL.com. You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have two very special guests joining us today. Well, they're from the world of education. It is my honor to welcome back to the show Dr. Joel A. Freeman and welcoming for the very first time Dr. Walter Milton Jr. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. We are honored to be with you this morning.
Yes. Awesome.
Thank you, Kerry. We love being here and looking forward to our time together.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I want to kind of jump right on in. Dr. Freeman, we're going to kick off with you. You were kind enough to help us kind of launch the Hair Radio Morning Show 5 years ago, literally hundreds of episodes of this broadcast ago. And we're so excited because many of our listeners, you've touched folks around the world with your story. And so we're going to remind everybody about that, but I just wanted to officially welcome you back to the broadcast and how we were able to use that wonderful, wonderful interview as a great foundation for pushing us forward, and we're still here today. I think that's a big part of that. So thank you.
Well, I'm very thrilled at what you're doing and how you've done it, your integrity, your stick-to-itiveness, and it's an inspiration to all of us.
Wonderful. Well, listen, again, welcome to the show. And now I have to turn also to Dr. Walter Milton Jr. You are from the Rochester, New York area, and you are, when I tell you, I was just blown away at your story when I started to do some research, school superintendent for years, literally, authors. Yes. So education, to put it mildly, is important. So, Dr. Milton, I have to get in there. What, you know, where did this come from, this whole, you know, this journey that you are on, that you've been on? And it's, I'm going to call it a track, I think, you know. So where did this come from in terms of jumping into the education or on the education wagon, I should say?
Well, you know, I had two teachers that impacted my life in ways in which you can one could never imagine. I had a teacher by the name of Adam Urbanski. He was a gentleman from Poland, and he talked about history. He was one of my high school history teachers, and he taught history in a way that you can only fall in love with. And he talked about the movers and shakers of history, the carriers of information, and how we have to learn to deconstruct things and find ourselves in the whole cloak of history. So he planted a major seed in me. Then I had a science teacher. Her name was Cassandra Frierson. And Cassandra Frierson said that I'm part of a history that goes all the way back to the beginning of time. And I was so glad to meet her because I had an experience in elementary school that my teacher attempted to teach black history, but she started off in slavery. And what happened, it had ushered so much shame and humiliation for me. So that those early years of my life, I was on this quest to find out some truths in history and where I played a role. And Dr. Frierson, or Cassandra Frierson, she said that my past is inexplicably tied to the beginning of time. And so as a result of those two individuals, I went into education, became a teacher, a principal, and then a school superintendent, and decided to step down and start my own company. And then it happened again. And when it happened this time, I said, I'm going to take action. When this whole quest and this desire and this love and passion for history came out, I said, I'm going to do something about it. So Joel Freeman was the first person that I've called. Joel has been a close friend of mine for many years, and I know that he is the curator of many African-American artifacts. And I said, Joel, would you go on this journey with me, man? And he didn't hesitate. Here we are, 2.5, almost 3 years later, with a finished product, and our goal is to share our love letter to the world. I mean, this is our divine purpose and our mission as to why we exist.
And that is the reason that you guys are here today. And that is to introduce us to this amazing new book. And I'm going to have to thank you, Dr. Milton, for that. I'm going to have to turn now to Dr. Freeman. I'm going to ask you, Dr. Joel A. Freeman, first of all, again, welcome to the show. And just want to say we are going to turn to you to talk about this amazing new book. We want to make sure and get that on out there, Black History, An Inclusive Account of American History. Tell us about this book.
Yes, as Dr. Milton mentioned, it's a labor of love. It's 1,248 pages, weighs 5.5 pounds, has well over 2,500 images throughout, and about 500 of those images come straight from the collection my wife and I own. We own over 3,000 items, documents and artifacts. The oldest piece dates back to 1553. And so we have put together, Walter and I, as he mentioned, we worked for about 2.5 years, putting in 12, 16-hour days and working. I'm telling you, it was just like Groundhog Day every day, just working at it and then going to sleep and working some more the next day and just day after day. So it was just both of us look at it right now and just go, we don't even know how it happened, except God's fingerprints are all over it. And we started in ancient Africa, And the reason why we started Ancient Africa is because we did not want to reinforce the notion, either implicitly or explicitly, that slavery was the beginning of black history. We wanted to talk about the mores, the folkways, the hunting, the gathering, the fishing, the industry, the agriculture, the ancient African kingdoms that transcend the current geopolitical lines. And now we're ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly of the last four centuries. And even when we get into slavery and the slave trade, we have a whole section just about slave rebellions. We talk about the trickery used, and we have actual stories of how people were tricked into coming on the ship, and or to be kidnapped to get on the ship. So we wanted to give a whole different view about this that is not normally given, at least that we could find. And then there's a gentle timeline that takes us all the way through to the struggle for civil rights. We then, once we have included that, then we get into the whole area of the economic system. We talk about arts, entertainment. We have a section on sports, black quarterbacks, the integration of the NBA. And then we have a whole section on 50 states, and it's where we provide some insights into black history in each state. So whatever state a listener is from, there will be some specific just a showcasing of what has happened in their particular state. Then the final unit is all about the North Star. It's over 100 pages, where we have a timeline from 1491 on that describes all that happened, our interaction between United States and Canada. And then we tell stories, we share stories from mid-1800s from a book called Refugees that a gentleman by the name of Benjamin Drew went north, and he interviewed a lot of people. And then he put 114 stories, their life stories, into the book. And so in our textbook, we start in Vancouver all the way over to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and everything in between. The Don Settlement with Josiah Henson, and so on and so forth. So it's really a wonderful way to show how people from the South, many suffered from Stockholm Syndrome, how does a person leave not knowing where they're going to be going, and if they're going to get caught and maybe get killed or get chastised in a horrific ways, and then the fugitive slave laws pushing them into Canada. So we really Walter and I have put together a book that the response we've been getting from around the country has truly been heartwarming, and we are very grateful to be the instruments used to be able to help put this together. And, of course, as we've expanded after the writing was done, our wives are very much a part of this project, and we're grateful to them. And then more people came on that helped with curriculum design, with search engine optimization, media relations, professional development, and many other aspects that helped to, we now have a team of over 75 people that have helped to bring this to bear.
Well, I'm going to say, I think you have at least 76. I'm on board, too. Make sure and add me on
okay.
in to that list. I saw that extensive list on your site. I was, at bh365.org. I was quite impressed. Listen, I want to make sure I get the title right. I don't. I think I just introduced it as Black History, but it's actually Black History 365. An inclusive
correct.
Account of American history. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, we landed on 365 because many times people view Black History Month as the main time to talk about Black history. But we decided that this is something that is an inclusive account of American history. That's the subtitle. And we also quote from a gentleman on the back cover. He's a quote on the back cover. His name is James Baldwin. He said, "American history is longer, larger, more various, more beautiful, and more terrible than anything anyone has ever said about it." And that's really, when Walter and I saw that quote, we just said, that's got to be on the cover. It's because that encapsulates what we have done.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have to say, as a matter of fact, Dr. Milton, I was going to ask you, being, you know, of course, an educator as you are, you know, and being out in the school system, how did that play a part? Because I'm, you know, I just imagine that you were close, you know, you were real, you know, you had a real front row seat to what the kids needed, you know, to what the students needed to learn. So I'm going to ask you, how did that play a part, or did it play a part in how you kind of, you know, decided to come up with this idea that you guys have, you know, worked on?
Well, it played a major part. What I saw in my years of education and what I still see now in working with school systems across the country is that there's a direct correlation with the lack of culturally competent instruction and educational approaches to the negative impact that has on student achievement. We also discovered that the lack of historical content has been a significant influence, sir, of negative outcomes for Black students and communities, including lack of self-awareness, lack of self-esteem, lack of intrinsic motivation, decreased academic achievement, truancy, discipline referrals, and even some cases, some criminal activity. Because what we found when our young people, not only Black children, but all children, when they have an understanding of who they are, where they came from, and the impact that their ancestors have made on this world, it just increases all the negative things to turn right into the positives because we make that connection. And so what we found and discovered that the world, particularly America, is begging for something like this because of the past, our history that we have and how those things still impact us to this day. So we wanted to really look at those things. We really wanted to look at the whole impact of the incarceration system and how that connected to education. And what we found is that there's this critical gap. And we believe that we have a solution for this gap. One of the things that we really focus on, and Joe will probably talk about that a little later, I'll just introduce the concept, but we said we need to develop critical thinkers, compassionate listeners, fact-based, respectful communicators, and action-oriented solutions. And we believe that BH365 will serve as an impetus to make that happen and to make our world a better place here in America and to bring about a great deal of healing because we clarify things and misconceptions that we've been operating on for many years.
Just, I'm blown away, and I have to say, Dr. Milton, and I was really touched, and I know we're here, we're going to absolutely get into every single aspect of Black History 365, you guys' new book, which is being used in the schools, but I have to draw some attention to when I came across one of your earlier books that talked about this. The title is A Matter of Life or Death, Why Black Men Must Save Black Boys in America's Public Schools. And I know you've written a couple of books, but that was, I read a little bit of the synopsis, and I was just very impressed. So thank you for all the work that you are doing, that both of you are doing on this incredible, incredible topic that, believe me, even, you know, I could put this on every day, you know, for years, and it would still just be scraping the surface of what needs to be done, but it's a wonderful thing to do as much research, and you guys can hear it. You've done a lot of research. I see the work, and it is incredible. It is absolutely incredible. So thank you both for that.
Thank you so much.
Yes, well, very much welcome. Well, listen, if you guys, if you're just joining us, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. It's my pleasure to welcome these two incredible educators to our Hair Radio. And Dr. Joel A. Freeman, he's been with us before. We're so excited to welcome him back. It's been 5 years. And he's joined, of course, or we're joined with Dr. Walter Milton, Jr., who we're also excited, a New Yorker, a fellow New Yorker, to the broadcast. And now, Dr. Freeman, you're in Maryland area, correct? Aren't you still out in Maryland?
Yes, not far from Annapolis.
Okay. And so we have a lot to talk about, because just trying to catch everybody up a little bit, and then I have some more questions for you, Dr. Milton. But just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Dr. Freeman, I recall that you started off early on, and you were a chaplain for, wasn't it the NBA? And you did all these amazing things and just had such just a deep understanding for folks at an early age. And that's what I got from that. And I was just quite impressed and went on to create that whole space with all these artifacts that you have that chronicle the lives of folks all the way to Africa and here. And so I'm just very impressed and, you know, just happy to have you here. So what can you tell us about your collection these days? Anything? Of course, we've got your book, which is going to be a big part of that, Black History 365. But what else can you tell us about the collection that you have amassed all of this? And I know you have pictures inside the book. Inside of Black History 365.
Yes. Yeah, it's a big part of the book and a big part of, I think, the contribution, because it's exclusively available to the book. The images. There's now over 4,000 high-resolution images.
Amazing.
And anyone who tries to put together something like this without images, it's just very difficult. And what people, when we went to the printers in Ohio who manufactured this book, one of the young men, I don't know how long he'd been working there, but maybe a decade or two or close, 15 years maybe, and we were just talking with him, and he says, yeah, he says, when I came in this morning, I thought I was working on a National Geographic project. and so the collection is made up of over 3,000 items. We've done 2 exhibits at the United Nations. We had over 1 million visitors. I've done 3 in concert with the White House. I've done 2 at the Clinton Presidential Library. I've done a number with Secret Service at their headquarters in D.C. and a number of other venues around the country. And it's just been wonderful. And when Walter called me about this project, I didn't have to think about it, because I knew intuitively that I had been building this collection, and it's perfect for a curriculum in terms of the types of items. I would pass over 200 items to get to that 201st item that would help tell the story. And so I was very selective about the items that I collected and brought together. So it's kind of a unique type of collection, and I think when people get the textbook and they start looking at the images, especially the first 2 units, because the first 2 units are about ancient Africa and slavery and the slave trade. So I have a number of items. For instance, I have one item when I was in Elmina Castle in Ghana on the banks of the Atlantic Ocean. Mm-hmm. And I met with the village elders there, and they voted unanimously to donate a set of shackles, an actual set of shackles from Elmina Castle. And I was truly humbled and honored by that, because I don't think they did that very often.
Exactly.
And so those are the kinds of stories behind many of the pieces of the collection. Just had over 75 given to me, and had to acquire a lot of things myself, but this gentleman, his father, worked for TWA Airlines.
Well, so did I. Wow.
Oh, really?
Yes, small world.
So he was responsible for all the continent of Africa back in the 40s and I think 50s, right in that range. And he had, of course, being with working in the airline and into Africa, he had many people sourcing original artifacts. We're not talking about stuff for tourists. I mean, original, like doors on a chief's hut, you know, and shackles and masks and figurines and all sorts of items. Well, his dad passed away. Of course, his dad, working at the airline, could ship it back to California. Sure. And when he passed away, my friend told me, he said, I'm going to make sure that there's a number of these that are in your collection. He had this sense of urgency, and my friend Pat passed away about 3 months ago, and he had this urgency to get these items to me, and he wasn't even sick, you know, just had a massive heart attack, and he was gone. And so I feel very honored, and am holding those items very carefully, and we have some of them pictured in the textbook in honor of him and his family.
Wow, that's very nice. I have to say, just when I look at this amazing book, Black History 365, and you mentioned 1,248 pages, I have to wonder about the schools. Like, how have the folks received this book, the textbook? Dr. Melton, let's ask you that. How has it been received by the teachers and the students for that much?
They have received the book extremely well. Many of them are not only saying that this is for 9th through 12th grade students, many of them are saying this engages all ages. This should be a book that's in every household across this country, in particular, and in general across the world, because it had so many features. It really does. Also, Morehouse College down in Atlanta is going to be one of the first colleges launching the textbook in January. We are also in a conversation with Hampton University in Virginia that's going to do that. And then we have had a number of people who have purchased personal copies of the textbook. So we believe that it has this book throughout the pages. It's a healing mechanism. I just want to quickly go back, if you can indulge me for a quick second,
sure.
To talk about these images. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with Joel, but it was an extremely tedious task to find the images. And he, like he said, he would go through 200 images just to get to that 201 to say, hey, this is it here. I mean, it wasn't anything that was easily done. I mean, it was arduous and it was daunting. And in some cases, I saw and felt the pain that he went through just to make sure that it was beyond excellent, because the images not only tell a story, the images bring the words alive of that book.
Wow. I'm blown away. I love as you respond to this, and you're just painting an amazing picture of Black History 365. Now, how do folks find this book? Dr. Milton, how do folks get their hands on a personal copy or an edition for, you know, like you said, it should be in every household?
Absolutely. Well, we're asking the world to go to bh365.org. That's bh365.org. And one of the major features that we have in the book, besides the many QR codes, because we wanted to have a strong integration of technology, we've also embedded music in the book from award-winning Grammy producer by the name of Dr. Kevin Cates, affectionately known as Kale. And KO has developed 40 songs. He's a producer for Jay-Z, T.I., Rick Ross, Drake, Snoop Dogg, and a host of others. So we have an expert who has put together amazing songs, and he got the words from the text. And they are just powerful. I mean, they will be
kind of like a soundtrack for the book.
Yes, yes, you can definitely say that. And as Joel said, we have a Hamilton in the making.
I see.
Yeah,
wow.
I call it an anthology of Black history, because basically what we've done is, you know, he's doing a song for each chapter, lifting lyrics from the text itself and the concepts surrounding the text. And so you start in ancient Africa and bring it all the way up to George Floyd, you know, some of the things that are happening in our culture today. It's like ripping pages out of the headlines, the way we've done it. And then we have an e-book version that is available, and so that will allow us to even add more items, you know, as things happen in our culture, so that we can continue to keep it updated and in the ebook version.
And that's important, right? Always to make sure that, you know, I keep going back to, I forget whose book it was, but I like that word living, like it, living history. It just keeps on going, and I love that. I have to tell you, this is just amazing. We're talking with the authors of this amazing book, the folks behind Black History 365, this amazing, incredible book. We're talking with Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton, Jr. So we're real excited to have them with us today. 1,248 pages. This is a huge book, but it is packed with so much information and knowledge that we need. And I can't say it enough. I really can't. I think this is a game changer out there. Dr. Freeman, why was this so necessary, though? You know, there are tons of books, folks will say, you know, I saw the books that were out there when I was in school, and those history books seem just fine. What do you say to folks who say something like that, Dr. Freeman?
Well, every time there is a racially charged incident in America, there are some very smart people, passionate people who get on TV. You know, we affectionately call them talking heads. And you can almost, if you're running a betting game, you could bet that someone's going to say, in so many words, we need to have a national conversation around the topic of race relations in America. And one gets the sense that 3 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, perhaps that same person will be saying the same thing. And you know, people protest in different ways. We have comedians who use comedy expertly to protest. Some write books. Some will write poetry. We remember the protest songs of the 60s and the protesting in rap music and hip-hop music. And some protest by demonstrating, marching. The way Walter and I protest is by putting in the 2.5 years, 12, 16-hour days to come up with a solution to the education gap in America. Our protest is we look at it in terms of a solutionist approach, so that we can start these conversations. So we have something in the textbook that is proprietary to BH365, is we have something called the Elephant Experience. Now, the Elephant Experience, and we could spend a whole show just talking about the Elephant Experience, but it's the whole idea of, okay, we have these topics that people don't like talking about. It's uncomfortable. And topics that cause some people to talk at or past each other. Some people block each other on Facebook or other types of social media. And so what Walter and I wanted to do is to come up with a process. Cause why an elephant? You know, connection with Africa. Hey, there's an elephant in the room. Probably your favorite joke in second grade was, hey, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time, one bite at a time. So there has to be a process, a schema, a methodology for dealing with the elephant. And then, of course, the hippocampus of an elephant is extremely large. And their EQ matches and rivals that of chimpanzees and some species of dolphins. So it has to be something that's sticky, something that is that engages, not just momentarily, but for the long term. So that's what we did. So topics such as 3/5 of a human being, Uncle Tom, the N-word, reparations, are we in a post-racial society after having a black president for two terms? Can a white person ever truly understand the black experience in America? Scientific racism, lynching, and should we tear the statues down? Things like that, topics like that, that we have a certain process that is a healing process, not a divisive process, where students can where we have professional development trainers that train the teachers in setting the environment so the students can create an environment that allows for these topics to be dealt with in a way that is beneficial. And where there there's a binary choice, we have QR codes that provide the pro and the con, you know, the for and against views. And so it invites people outside of their confirmation bias bubbles and gets them into a realm where they begin to see the other side, and or at least hear the other side. And then using the Socratic method, the students engage around it and come up with individual or perhaps even collective understanding about something. So to get back to your original question, the need for something like this, and the response we're getting from principals, from educators, from superintendents, from people who have, historians. I was talking with a historian the other day, and he was saying he's up to page 500 already.
Oh, wow.
In the textbook.
Wow.
And he was saying that he was just delighted. He said, oh, my goodness. He's checking out the QR codes. He's engaging with it. And he just said, I just cannot believe a resource like this is finally available. This is what I've been talking about all my life, and a resource like this.
Absolutely.
So, when it comes to the distinctives, we believe that we have something that is very uniquely crafted. It's designed for healing. It's truth-centric. It has the music attached to it. It has QR codes, so it's engaging with technology. We start in ancient Africa, so we're not reinforcing implicitly or explicitly the notion that black history started slavery. So we bring all these elements together that we've discussed, and we brought it into one textbook. Now, we're also planning to create a K through 8, so K2, 3, 5, 6, 8 grade bands. Those are coming. And we're using the 9 through 12 textbook, which, by the way, engages all ages. We're using that backbone information to then be contextualized in the 6 through 8, 3 through 5, and K through 2 programs. So now, getting back to how I started this response, now we're starting to get people, to kids, to start talking about the tough topics in a contextualized manner from kindergarten on. And hopefully we'll be able to measure results with the students, the teachers, and perhaps even the parents. And, 3 years from now, 5 years, 12 years from now, to see what kind of impact this can have on our society that is so polarized politically, and to really get people to engage coming through the lens and the gateway of history, which an inclusive account of a history, so that we can somehow see healing happen in our country.
I totally agree. I was thinking as you were just explaining that, I'm thinking to myself as well. That's the thing. We are all, when we look back at how when we were in school and taught history, and it really does, I hate to say, but it really, that's kind of where what you get is, for black history, anything that's relating to black culture is usually starting with slavery. And so I so appreciate what you have just described in Black History 365. I so appreciate it. because just to be able to connect back to Africa and just see a place in, you know, how, you know, folks of black descent, just African descent rather, just figure into everything. So it's amazing to me, and I have I'm kind of blown away just to talk to you about it. So I'm excited for folks to get their hands on Black History 365. It is important. It's an important, important book. So so what else is there out there? You and Dr. Milton, as you mentioned, there is music involved in all of this as well. Can I get my hands on some of this so I can play some of those songs on the Hair Radio Morning Show? We'd love to get some of those music files over here.
Well, it's awesome. It's probably, the music is so good, and I can't wait till you hear it. And I think that maybe Joe and I could send you a demo copy for your
Absolutely.
Ears only,
okay.
Because it's going through the process of being produced and recorded, and so we're going through all the legal aspects of that. But
so
in the meantime,
we
can give you something that you could look forward to coming out, and I think that we would love to have you. Once we get the green light to play it on your show, because it's going to be a Grammy award producing set of music, and I give all the accolades to God first, but I give them to K.O., who was used by God to do this work. I mean, the music is incredible, and as the kids say, it is highly dope. So.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
I think that, you're going to love it. You really are. And, you know, Joel and I are just so honored that you allowed us to be here today to share this, one of the most passionate things in our lives, you know, Black history. And Joel talked about us being utilized as a vessel. You know, we had many moments that we worked throughout the day. And we'll talk, you know, how do we get here? How do we do this? Where did this come from? And we just know that this was all divinely inspired. It really was.
Absolutely. Well, I have to say, I want to just, before we close out on this part today, I definitely want to just make sure everybody is aware of, again, how to get their hands on Black History 365, your website. Please give us that again, you know, Dr. Freeman, Dr. Milton, please tell everybody how to get their hands on this amazing book.
Yes, BH365.org, BH365.org.
Okay, and that is just awesome. And we're real happy about that, yes, indeed. And also, just to let everybody know, that you guys, this is not the end of Black History 365 on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm so happy and honored that you guys are here. You know, we're announcing right now just an interview arc where we're going to have a few shows at this time, and then we're going to roll out something long-term that kind of can, you know, take parts of this amazing book. We're going to say Black History 365 is the name. And we're going to cover it a little bit more in depth. We wanted to just kind of do a quick introduction, if you will, and talk about some of the things that are inside of this amazing book. And I've got to tell you, we're going to be able to get into some of, before I let you guys go today, we're going to tease this because I want to get your opinion of things that are happening today. And how you can tie them to Black History 365, Black History 365, and I know that you can. And we're going to have that a little later for you guys, or we'll put it on our website as well. So that's just a nice little tidbit that we'll get into a little later. But first, again, I want to thank you. Before we go, Dr. Freeman, why don't we start with you? Is there any last thoughts or anything you want to kind of close out this portion today of our interview? Anything you want to leave us with? Like those amazing sayings that you used to have. Used to give us all these wonderful sayings that I always love. Anything that you want to tell us today?
Well, I think that the main thing I wanted to, that comes to my mind right now is that this textbook is transcendent. You know, as we say in the subtitle, an inclusive account of American history. And so the whole idea of the term inclusive, I want everyone who's listening to realize that this is an opportunity to engage all ethnicities and ages, you know, in terms of young and older generations, different backgrounds. Some come from more urban areas and some come from more rural areas, socioeconomic aspects. We've tried to include everything. Plus, when it comes to STEM, you know, science, technology, engineering, and I like to put in arts, and then M for mathematics. We've provided different aspects. Sorry?
No, I was saying yours is STEAM, not just STEM.
Yeah.
STEAM, like that.
That's right, STEAM. There's STEM and STEAM, and I prefer STEAM. But so if people are looking for this to engage on all aspects, you know, we have some very interesting topics. I was talking with someone just recently, and she was saying that she says, "Well, I'm an educator," and she said, "My response to this once I started looking at it is I don't really know that much," and we don't want that to be the takeaway. But we want it to be the incentive that when people approach this topic, you know, and we talk about the Great Migration to the North and then to the West, you know, that it, all the different topics, the Harlem Renaissance, and we even have a whole section in there, Carrie, that I think you'll love, is what about taking back the hair care and beauty industry?
Well, that's coming up in our next segment.
We have a whole section on that.
I'd spring
in the
that
textbook.
On you a little later. Yes.
So that's on my mind. That's all. It's the inclusive nature of the textbook. Walter?
Textbook 365.
Well,
yes,
I just wanted to say we didn't have an opportunity to talk about our advisory board, but hopefully we can do that next time we come back on. We have incredible people like Kathy Hughes, Benjamin Crump.
All my favorite folks. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Agabriar Bryson, the great-nephew of Annie Malone.
Yeah.
You'll know
yeah.
Annie Malone. Joel has done a lot of extensive work regarding her and a host of other wonderful people. But I want to leave with celebrating you, Carrie, because I know that you bring so many people. You give so many accolades, you know, through your work. But I want to give you an accolade. You know, just my short time of knowing you and hearing you and hearing about you and researching you as well, you are truly a merchant of hope. You carry hope for so many people's lives. You know, and I can hear that hope in your voice, your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And I just want to wish you the best always.
That's very kind. Thank you very much. It means a lot. I appreciate that. And I have to tell you, when I hear those names and, you know, Kathy Hughes, she's been my, you know, starting out in radio and being one of my favorite folks in radio. And back when I didn't see many folks who are African-American doing that and just being such a big forerunner out there, I'm just blown away. And Benjamin Crump has been on my show. He's been on our broadcast just like you guys. And so I had a chance to chat with him, of course. And even Akbar, I think the gentleman, I've chatted with him as well. So, and Annie Malone, all of this comes full circle. So I just have to say I'm blown away. And again, I want to thank you guys personally. This book is important, Black History 365. The website is bh365.org. You need to get a copy of this book. And we're going to make sure that you do that. And if you need to be put in touch, and I got to say this last thing, Dr. Freeman, I have to say, I had told everybody, I'd put it out on Facebook that you were coming back to the show, and I posted all this about Black History 365, the book and the picture and all of that. And my brother, Dr. Leroy Hines, who the listeners out there know, he's been with us many times, he's a trained economist and all of this. He's deep in history, studying all of this. And he rarely, pipes up to ask me about anything. He sees my radio show, guests from time to time. This is the only time he said, "You must introduce me to Dr. Freeman." He didn't know about you at that time, Dr. Milton.
No, I'm okay. I'm okay.
And I said, I kid you not. He said to make sure. So I said, well, when I speak with you, I'm going to get your permission, but I'm going to introduce him to you guys. Because I think that Dr. Leroy Hines, he's been out there, and as I said, the listeners know, he always comes on and gives us all kind of, in terms of current affairs and all that wonderful good stuff. But I have to say, I think he's definitely, you guys, you're definitely going to have a great time. That's all I can say. That's amazing work. So thank you so much. And you guys out there are going to have to stay tuned for the next part of this episodal arc with these amazing guys. Again, it's my pleasure to thank Dr. Joel A. Freeman and Dr. Walter Milton Jr. for being part of this broadcast today. Again, the book is Black History 365. Thank you, gentlemen, for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Up now, live, it's Vet Talk Radio Show with host Michael Hopkins, executive producer Carrie Hines, and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole, Noor, and Katrina. The Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins is all about helping veterans in need. Stay tuned.
Looking for a new and exciting way to generate interest in your business? Enter Radio World Productions. I'm Carrie Hines with over 25 years in the industry. Now, we specialize in helping you to promote your business by creating a podcast, a radio show, or even an entire radio network with your very own branding that can add monies immediately to your bottom line. Call us at 862-277-0686. Again, that's 862-277-0686. Radio World Productions, your star is right. All right, we're back live. You are listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show Network. I'm Carrie Hines. I want to bring to the line the one and only Michael Hopkins, who actually is your host for Vet Talk Radio. Michael, good morning. Michael from Spotsylvania, Virginia, good morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Carrie. How are you this morning? It's actually a beautiful day down here in Spotsylvania.
Well, I'm happy to hear that. Same up here in New York City. Now, I want to take a moment to just welcome all of our amazing fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show and and welcome them to Vet Talk Radio. This is a very special broadcast. Normally, you guys are on Tuesdays at 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. But today, we started a little earlier so that we could pay aptly tribute to the folks all around the world who are remembering September 11th. It's the 20th anniversary of that horrific day, and we are just taking a moment to acknowledge from the Veteran Talk Radio Show perspective some of these, paying tribute to the amazing military folks that we have on this special event. So just want to get that on out, Michael. And what would you like to say, Michael Hopkins? We're going to have you to take it away, welcome all of our military folks. And what would you like to say about this whole big special? And what were your thoughts? Michael Hopkins, take it away.
Oh, yes, Kerry. You know, before we get started, I'd like to thank you and your fans of the Hair Radio Network for just hanging there with us, for just supporting us, man. I'm humbled. I am just so grateful that you gave us the opportunity to do this. And I'm also going to give a big salute to all my veteran brothers and sisters all over this country, all over the world, for what they do, what they've
done,
the sacrifices they made, and their families. Their families did a lot of sacrificing, too. And I don't want to forget my active duty brothers and sisters that are still out there in harm's way. The war may be over, but the war on terrorism is not over, and they still are in harm's way, along with their families. And I just thank them all, and my vet friends, my personal friends, I just thank them all. And I have a very special thank you for my three angels, for Katrina, Nicole, and Nurji Han. I have a very special thank you on this very special day, the anniversary of 9/11.
Yes, and we're going to just remind everybody, and absolutely, the actual date is coming up on Saturday, which is the 11th, of course, and today the 7th. We just we don't have another Vet Talk Radio show before September 11th, so we don't air again until after. So we wanted to use today's date to make this acknowledgement to all. And as you just pointed out, we welcome everybody and thank you guys for tuning into the broadcast today. Now, coming up shortly, Michael and I are going to get into quite a bit of this talk. As you guys may or may not know, I think we've both been affected on many different levels, as you guys have, literally all over the world, and particularly the veterans. We're also going to come up, we're going to have another segment on this coming up in just a bit, is what I'm trying to get out. And we're going to invite those amazing angels to share as well, their perspectives. Plus, we have a lot more in store for you. So we're going to have you guys just sit back. We're going to take a little tiny quick commercial break. We're going to come right back. And when we do, Michael Hopkins, we've got a lot to get into this morning. So we're going to see how ready you are today, sir. So let us take a quick commercial break. Yes, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
All right, Michael Hopkins, we are back. It's Vet Talk Radio Show. Today's Tuesday, September 7th of 2021, and it's your broadcast number, I'm going to say number 7, lucky number 7. So how does that make you feel today?
Seven.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, Gary, it's like, wow. It's unbelievable. We have 7 programs that we've done. And the angels and myself, you know, we have to pinch ourselves sometimes. We really do, because this started out as a dream. That's basically what it started out as, a dream. And we had no idea that we were going to be going to the heights that we're going. And as I said, we just appreciate you so much, that you've taught us so much. You're taking us to places that we had no idea that we were going with this show. And we will continue to go places with this show and help as many veterans and their families and our fans to understand what it's like to be a veteran. That is our goal.
Absolutely.
I want you to understand it.
Well, let me tell you something, and I'm speaking for the folks who have no military background. I have to say, I am thoroughly impressed and have a new respect. You know, we've always, you know, like many of us, and you're going to hear from the angels in just a bit, who I'm sure can speak on this as well, but we have members in our family who are in the military. But I have to tell you, you have peeled some layers and inserted information that I never even thought about. But now, every time I see anything that is remotely related to supporting the veterans, I'm all in. It has my complete attention, as it should have all along. But that's what this program does. It reminds us how important the contributions of the veterans, again, across the entire spectrum of the military. So I just have to say thank you so much to all the folks. Now, I also, Mr. Michael Hopkins, I want to get into this. And again, we salute the veterans. But today is all about commemorating September 11th, 20 years ago. And it's kind of, you know, I don't really want to get into the politics of things so much and whether it was this is right and wrong and that and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Even though there's a great deal of background with this. And I do want to kind of touch on that a little bit. But first, Michael, I'm going to have you to take it away and kind of tell us a little bit, wherever you want to start, on September 11th. What does it mean to you, sir? Michael Hopkins, the host of that talk radio show.
Well, Kerry, September 11th really has a special place in my heart. And the reason being is because of the Pentagon. At that point in my career, I was a contractor. I was a Department of Defense contractor. And I was
so this is in 2001 you're talking about.
Right. This was in 2001. I had originally, I had been a contractor since the 90s. Since the early 90s, I had been a Department of Defense contractor working contracted security. So I worked in the Northern Virginia area, and that's where the Pentagon is. It's in the Northern Virginia area, not that far from D.C., not that far. You cross the bridge, and you're in D.C. You can literally see the Pentagon. So, and I was also, at that time, I was a reservist in the United States Army. So the Pentagon, it meant a lot to me. It really did. It was the place where policy is made for the military. Like I said, I was a contractor. I used to pass by the Pentagon every day. And at this particular time in my career, I was a manager for the heating utility plant of the Pentagon. So I was kind of in the thick of things as far as the Pentagon is concerned. And prior to that, I was also a manager for a little-known entity called the Pentagon Village, and it sits on the grounds of the Pentagon. Most people don't know there's a north and a south side to the Pentagon. You know, the average person wouldn't know that, but those of us that work there, we know it's a north and a south side. The north side is usually where you see the president go in to the Pentagon and the flags, all that good stuff. South side is actually where the plane went down 395 and hit the Pentagon. So just that history.
Well, Michael, can you walk us back, sir, if you don't mind, can you walk us back to that fateful morning on September 11th? It was a Tuesday morning. I recall it very well. As the world started, you know, to almost to kind of unfold right in front of our eyes, literally. Can you just tell us exactly where you were or what went through your mind and share some of that with us?
Oh yeah, I never will forget that day. I just happened to be at an instructor's course right outside of D.C. in Maryland as an instructor's course for law enforcement. And all of us, law enforcement people, police officers, et cetera, and we were getting ready to start the class, and all of a sudden, somebody said something to the effect of, hey, something going on up in New York City. So we were, oh, okay, yeah, something going on in New York City. What else is new? Turned on the TV, and everybody was watching it, and all of a sudden, we saw this plane, and it hit the World Trade Center, and everybody was going like, wow, okay. That was, it was probably an accident, or it was probably something. Nobody had any idea. But all of a sudden, as time went on, everybody's phones start going off. And all of a sudden, we had to cut the class short because everybody had to report back to whatever law enforcement agency you were with. Everybody had to report back to their law enforcement agency. And it was a madhouse around the D.C. area. Traffic everywhere. We call it the Beltway, or it's the road around the whole entire Washington, D.C. area. It's like a circle. It was crowded. You couldn't go but so fast on it. Normally the Beltway can go fast, but that particular day it was not going to happen. Stated before, I was running the heating utility plant of the Pentagon, providing the services, heat, and so forth to the Pentagon, and I had guys there that day that I supervised. I had guards there. They were armed guards. My partner called me up, and she told me something was going on at the Pentagon, and she could hear sirens going off, explosion. I mean, it was just so horrific that we just did not know what to do. I couldn't get to the Pentagon. I couldn't get my guys out. And things like that haunt you. You know, 20 years later, those images and those things stay with you. They don't go away.
Well, Michael, once you heard about the attack at the Pentagon, how did you feel on hearing that news?
It was unreal. You know, Carrie, it's unreal. As military people, the Pentagon is the place. It's our go-to place.
That's the Mecca for, yeah.
Right, it's a Mecca. Right, it's policy is made. Joint Chiefs of Staff, your branch is there, you know, the military. And it's a place we all look up to as service members. It is the sometimes people joke about it. They call it the five walls of confusion. But reality is, it's the place. And when that place was attacked by terrorists, that just deflated a lot of us as military people. That just was like, no, this cannot be happening. We cannot be losing people on the American soil. That this, it's not real. It is not real. And that's how a lot of us felt, and we still feel about it 20 years later.
Well, we're going to talk about, we're going to get into that, Michael, in terms of currently how we're being affected even today. Now, I want to take a moment to also acknowledge there were kind of like a three-prong kind of attack, if you will, that happened on that fateful morning, as we recall. And I will tell you a little bit about my story in just a moment as well. But I also want to just bring attention to the flight that the aircraft that crashed there in Pennsylvania, I believe. You know, this was something, again, I remember the news reports, and all that we remember was the recording of the Let's Roll. And where it appeared just from listening to this, that these people were really fighting with these terrorists to try to prevent them from causing further damage. It looks like it was, according to what reports had mentioned, that they were aiming for perhaps the Capitol building or something like that. So this is just, it's been something that has been unreal. And so I want to tell a little bit about what's happened here in New York as far as September 11th goes. And I have I think this is the very first time I've shared this on radio ever. I've never talked about September 11th on radio. I rarely talk about it here. I watch the commemoration each year on television here in New York City. It takes on just such a special meaning. However, I've been reluctant to tell this story because it is incredibly personal as well. I remember for me, you guys know I'm in Brooklyn, New York now, and I've been here for about 20 years in New York, in Brooklyn, New York. However, at that time, I was in northern New Jersey, so a little area called Bloomfield, New Jersey, which is right outside of Newark, New Jersey, East Orange, New Jersey, all that particular area in northern New Jersey. So we're talking about close to New York still, very close. I remember I was a customer service manager for a company out in Bloomfield, and I remember working in the office, but we had a warehouse attached to the office that we could all go back and look at the back of the warehouse out the window, and you had a clear view of across the water at the Twin Towers. Now, not just do we have, you have to, let me paint the picture for folks who are not from New York and have never been here. The Twin Towers used to sit, which was to me right above the PATH station in New York City in lower Manhattan. So right at the water, of course, we use that whole trade center to commute between New York, New Jersey. It was the financial mecca, as we used that word earlier, of the world, literally, was right there at the World Trade Center. That's why they called it the Trade Center. And so I remember I'm sitting at my desk on that Tuesday morning. It was about 8-something, I think it was about 8-something in the morning, and a little before 9, I think, about 10 minutes or so before 9, I think I recall. And I'm sitting there with my team, everybody's sitting at their desk, and I remember hearing the first report. Someone mentioned that there had been, that one of the trade towers was hit. Well, at that time, if you guys remember this, there was always a lot of little tiny prop planes, you know, little tiny things hitting, you know, little parts of buildings, and nothing sinister so much. So we kind of just dismissed the first report that we heard that there had been, and we didn't really know what size aircraft or what kind of plane. All that we heard was that a plane had hit part of the World Trade Center. Now, let's go back a little bit, because this is where I remember in 1993, that's more like it. In 1993, I remember the day itself, just like September 11th, I actually remember the actual day that we first ever really kind of started to be aware of a war with terror and this kind of thing. And that's when here in New York, they attempted to blow up the World Trade Center, that time with a truck bomb underneath the World Trade Center, like in a garage. There was a whole bunch of damage, but it wasn't that, no lives were lost as far as I'm aware. And so there was no, that I can recall, I'm going to double check that, but it didn't so much land with America, I think we heard about it on the news, and then it kind of dissipated, if you will. And there could have been some lives lost, I'll have to double check that because I believe there was, and I'm just searching my memory at this moment. But I also recall subsequently that this is where all of these getting involved with, the Iraq war, bringing about with the weapons of mass destruction, making a case for a war in Iraq and all this kind of stuff. And then, obviously bringing us into a big conflict in the Middle East as you guys know, the war just ended, you know, which in Afghanistan. And so just bringing us into a huge, complex situation. But I do want to go back to myself. As I said, I was sitting in the office, and again, we were sitting around and heard about the first attack. Again, we kind of just brushed that off and kept on working. But then we heard about a second plane. Now, again, we didn't know what size airplane. We were thinking perhaps just a little accident, but then we heard about the second plane. And boy, oh boy, if you could, you could have heard literally a pin drop in that office in that moment, because you had no idea what was going on, but you knew that it was no accident, obviously. And so I remember still working for about an hour as we kind of still waited to hear information. I believe at that time, remember, the internet was not like it is now. So, you know, we didn't have a whole bunch of things going on where we could get a whole bunch of information. It was just mainly people walking around saying things. And then I remember when the first tower fell. Because, again, we could look out the back of the warehouse and see over into New York and see the towers. Now, I saw it smoking. You could see them smoking, exactly what the images that you see. That's what I saw out the window. The first one, I looked up, there were two towers smoking. And then I looked up again, there was one tower. And then the second one, I actually saw a drop. So I never, ever, 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 that image, as you mentioned, is seared in my memory, along with all of us who are watching. And that was just the physicality of the buildings coming down, which to me symbolized so much. I used to pass through the World Trade Center all the time, the old original version of it, going in and out of New York City. I lived in Jersey. I lived in New York, and so forth and so on. It's a big part of anybody here in the Northeast, and particularly in the New York area. And so for me, it was devastating. I released my staff about an hour later, and at that time, I lived right in Bloomfield, New Jersey, went on home. The phones were locked. The cell phones, you could not make a phone call, nothing. Everything was on pause. Don't try to go to the ATM or anything to get money. You weren't going to be successful. Everything was on, and I mean lock, period, with a T. So I remember going back home and just waiting, watching the news like everybody else. It was September 11th. 1 month earlier, 1 month, I celebrated my birthday by flying out to Los Angeles on Continental Airlines, which I used to work for at that time. Earlier than that, I had left that job and worked in Bloomfield, but I had stayed out in Continental for over five years. And I remember taking a special flight in August of 2021, in 2001, to go out and celebrate again my birthday in September, in August. So I had just taken the same flight out. In fact, I did not fly on Continental. I worked for Continental, but I flew out on United Airlines out to LA on that flight. The same flight number that a month later was no longer there because of this. So that I remember. Now, you guys know I had worked for the airlines, as I said, had many, many, many different folks there. And my good friend, Lonel, who has been on this show, you guys remember Lonel, he's great friends with Oprah. His birthday is, of course, September 11th. I was concerned because he was a flight attendant at that time for United. And I was concerned, him and all my friends, who I have lots and lots of friends. At that time, Continental Airlines and United were two different airlines. Now, you guys know Continental bought United. Now it's United Airlines. So it was, everybody was okay. And we'll talk about the aftermath here in New York in just a bit, because there was nothing quite like it after the horrific day. What happened here in New York, how the people, when you walk into the city, what you saw and how people made commemorations of this tragedy. And so that is my story, Michael. That is my September 11th memory. And I would love to hear, and I don't know about you, Michael, but how do you feel about bringing on the angels in just a moment and asking for some of the feedback from some of your veterans who are tuned in? Because I would like to hear some of the commentary from the military, if you will, as well. Michael Hopkins, what do you say?
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent idea. I mean, I too, especially some of my military brothers and sisters, and, you know, like I said, the Pentagon has a deeper meaning to us as military personnel. And I'd love to just reach out to them and have them reach out to us and let us know their feelings. They're feeling.
Well, you've got quite a few of them listening right now, Michael Hopkins. Let me just say that for you guys out there tuned in, we are live this morning. This is Vet Talk Radio, very special broadcast. We're remembering September 11th is the 20th anniversary. We have folks who are tuned in to this live broadcast. If you would like to give a special I don't want to use the word shout out. That's not quite the right word, Michael Hopkins. But certainly if you want to share your sentiment, right? If you want to share your sentiment on air live this morning, just press the number one. Press the number one on your cell phone or how you're listening and through your phone line. And we will, that'll be our indication that you have a sentiment to share on air live to everybody. So press the number one, and that tells us you're ready to talk. And then also, Michael Hopkins, it's time to get the angels on. So listen, I didn't mean to be what we call a mic hog in radio. A mic hog is somebody who gets the mic and doesn't release it. So I just wanted to share that memory back. It was quite devastating then. And at the end of today's show, I'll try to get on a little bit more about what happened in the aftermath of September 11th. But Michael, how about while we're waiting for some of your wonderful veterans to press number one and share their sentiments this morning, why don't we take a quick moment? Actually, Michael, it looks like we do have someone standing by. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and get the person on. In just a moment, we'll take a little quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll see if we can get some of these sentiments on and then get your panel in. Michael Hopkins, stay with us.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at stimulatingroots.com. That's stimulatingroots, R-U-T-Z.com.
All right, we're back live. You are listening to Vet Talk Radio Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I am with the irrepressible host who is just doing amazing things out there for the military and for all the folks and veterans out there. Michael Hopkins, again, good morning to you, and welcome to this special broadcast.
Morning, Carrie. Morning.
Good morning.
And now, Mom, thank you,
yes.
Carrie.
Oh, you got it, Michael. Now, I want to get the angels on first, and then we will get on some of the folks who've called in to share their memories. Would that be okay, Michael? Michael Hopkins,
oh,
this
I mean,
morning,
that,
the Hopper.
That, Oh, the house of man with the plan, right? Oh, yes.
There you go. All right.
Perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Well, let us work on in your angels. And I'm going to first let me just call it out a little bit where they are from this morning. We've got these are some amazing ladies. I just absolutely love talking to each and every one of them. And we communicate all the time. We all work on this wonderful project together. We've got Nurjahan, who is out of Clarksville, Tennessee. I just added some syllables in there. Nicole, who I'm so proud of as well, from Water Valley, Mississippi. And Katrina, out of Paris, Texas, this morning. So we're going to get them all on live right now on this broadcast to join Michael Hopkins and myself and with thoughts of September 11th. So do I have the amazing Michael's angels on with us this morning?
Good morning.
Yes, you do. Good morning.
Awesome. Good morning to all of you guys. We're so thrilled to have you join us on this special 8 o'clock edition of one-hour broadcast of Vet Talk Radio. It's lucky show number 7, I call it, commemorating 20 years of this September 11th tragedy and the sentiment from the military folks and folks, the families as well. Michael Hopkins, what do you want to say to the angels this morning?
Oh, first of all, Carrie, they're my angels, and they know each one of them. I love them so much that they're behind the scenes, and they produce the show. If I didn't have them, you know, I don't know what I would do. I mean, of course, you know, you have been leading us, but with my angels, they just do, and the three of them, I just don't know what I would do without them.
Well, listen,
really
you don't have to worry about that this morning. You got them.
Oh,
now, I want to jump on, right? I want to jump on and ask the angels and go around the panel a little bit. Let's lead on in with Nurjahan out of Clarksville, Tennessee. Let's talk of September 11th. How were you affected, shall we say, or what effect has it had on you? I think might be a better way to phrase it.
Yeah, well, I was actually, I didn't even know what the Trade Center was when I heard about what happened. And then after, I was actually getting ready for work, you know, when everything was going on, and we started talking about it at the job of how, you know, the towers were there, and now they're not there anymore, and, you know, all this smoke. And the thing about it being 9/11, it's like 9/11, that's a wake-up call. You know, so it was more than just the date of it being 9/11. It was what happened to America that day. And then so many people's lives, you know, that were lost. And then the people that were looking for, you know, all those bodies. But then America started to pray, you know. So it really was like it wasn't a coincidence, you know, that it happened on that day. That's how I feel.
Exactly. That's correct. Wow. Thank you, Nurjahan. Nicole.
You're welcome.
Nicole, who's been quiet this morning from Water Valley, Mississippi. Good morning, Nicole. Nicole, what
Good
do you
morning.
Say? Hi. How were you affected there? Were you in Mississippi at the time?
I was actually in Tennessee. I was in Memphis. Ooh. And it was just a complete shock, just it's like a bad dream just watching that on TV. It was just like, it's just unbelievable. Definitely like, it was like a wake up call, like, oh my goodness, this is definitely to our freedom. You know, here we are in the greatest country of the world, but we've been attacked.
Uh-huh.
So it was
wow.
like, okay, from that point, like, okay, like we needed to be on guard because anything could happen because this happened to us on our American soil. We've lost lives, just complete devastation. Just watching that on that day and the days that followed, the whole cleanup, searching for bodies, and it was just complete devastation.
I agree.
Shock. Horror.
Thank you so much. Yes, absolutely. And my concern also, especially looking from a military aspect, and not just folks, veterans, and the support, I mean, and the first responders and all of that. And then later, years later, to have people fighting for proper health care who went to clean up there and contracted all these respiratory issues. And oh, so much. There's so many layers to this.
Exactly.
It's just crazy. Let's check in with Katrina. I want to get her feedback as well. Katrina, what does September 11th come to mean to you? Katrina, out of Paris, Texas, this morning.
Well, it was very shocking, like when I heard the news, because at that time I was dropping my son off at school, and he was in kindergarten at the time, and like by the time we made it to his classroom, it's when his teacher was mentioning about what had just happened. So I immediately, my phone started going off, and I started watching and listening. And just like Nicole said, hearing about all those bodies that people have to go find. A lot of people wasn't even claimed, still trying to worry and wonder if their family was there. And plus, at that time, I still had family that was in the service that was even going to have to go help out in everything that was going on. Also, at the same time, got family members whose birthday is also the same day. So it was
exactly.
Like a sad that,
exactly.
That day.
And I have to say, and thank you, Katrina, because you really made this, you know, land for me as well. On that day, as I told you, it's September 11th, my friend who was celebrating his birthday, Lonel, was always on our show. What I didn't mention was that because he was a flight attendant, he would have been flying with United and possibly on that aircraft that day. But because it was his birthday, he was out of the country already. So I was so relieved that none of my friends and my other friends who flew for United were involved. And we have friends at American and these other airlines. And it was just, but it was a, I'd have to do a whole nother show just to tell you the effects on travel and airlines and all that stuff, which I have a plenty to share on that.
Right.
We'll do that at a different time.
It was just a lot.
It was a lot, Michael, to process. Mm-hmm. It still is 20 years later. And we'll talk a little bit about New York as well and what happened in the aftermath since September of 2001. Got to get the dates all straight. But first, there's a gentleman who's been standing by for quite a bit. I'm going to see if we can get him on the line. He's out in your neck of the woods. Let me see if I can get him to the line. Sir, your phone number ends in 72. I'm thinking you're out in Fredericksburg, Virginia area. Larry, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Okay, good morning to you. You're on live with Kerry Hines, Michael Hopkins, and the entire Angel
Panel. Morning, Larry.
What would you like to say this morning?
Yeah, good morning to everybody. Really enjoy the show. We were vacationing down at the Outer Banks in North Carolina, and we hadn't had that television on in 4 days, and we got a call to a plane had hit the one of the towers. So we turned on the TV, and like everybody else, I'd heard that small planes had hit some other buildings at different times and everything.
Exactly.
But when we saw that second plane hit, immediately I said, we're under attack. And the only reason I said that, I worked for the Department of Defense, and I called into my work and got a hold of people that I worked with, and they said, yeah, they thought the same thing when they saw that hit, and so they went into this emergency code, you might say, and started closing everything down. They knew then there was something just not right. And then, of course, the Pentagon was hit also, and then, of course, the plane that went down in Shanksville. But I actually had a coworker that was flying at the time, and they grounded that plane. And he was floored, and I think he ended up in Georgia, and he had to get a rental car and drive back up north up here.
Yeah. Right.
But
wow. So how did you feel, if I may, Larry, how did you feel when all this began to unfold and you was clear that there was the attack at the Pentagon, and you heard the news reports about the plane being diverted, and later coming down in Pennsylvania, as well as obviously the trade towers. So what went through your mind as far as that goes? And is 20 years later, what does it mean to you now?
Well, at the beginning, we had talked about planes hitting buildings. I mean, the World Trade Center never came up. Those buildings never came up. Because most of the time we talked about planes hitting government buildings. And I did telephone work in these buildings. So there was always kind of in the back of your mind, you're thinking this could happen, them using airplanes, whoever it's going to be. But so when it started happening, it just started, falling into place, basically, I thought. I don't know. I've had friends, two coworkers. I didn't know them personally. Were on that flight going back to California, and they ended up hitting the Pentagon. I actually have a friend that was in the Pentagon, and everybody in her office was killed. She doesn't even know how she got out of that office. Somebody picked her up and carried her out. She doesn't even know who it was. To this day, she doesn't know.
Wow.
And, it bring tears to your eyes. When she came home after about 5 days of being in the hospital, there was a huge party out at her house, and it'll just bring tears to your eyes when she got out of that car and everybody was, hugging her and everything. So had a good picnic, but yeah.
Well, listen, I just want to say thank you so much this morning. And I'm sure Michael and all of us agree with that sentiment. And just to say thank you for sharing your story, Larry, out of Fredericksburg, Virginia. Thank you again.
Yes, thank you.
And thanks for being a fan of the Vet Talk Radio Show.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, thank you. Very all good. Yeah, and stay strong.
Thank you for calling in.
Yes, thank you, sir. All right. Listen, why don't we take a little bit of a quick commercial break? We'll be right back. More with Michael's Angels and Vet Talk Radio Show. Lucky show number 7, we're going to call it, for this special September 11th commemorative 20th anniversary show. So why don't you stay with us? We'll be right back. Lots more to go on the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins. Right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 24/7 hairradio.com network.
Has your trip to the local hair store left you down? Same old hair with little selection and outrageous prices? Well, you need to check out TracyBeautySupply.com. This is an online beauty store specializing in all types of hair. There are different lengths, different colors, different styles, and you can basically live out your hair fantasy through this site. TracyBeautySupply.com is devoted to helping every woman's dream of the perfect hairstyle come true by providing the highest quality of virgin human hair. Want a new look? We'll help you find a new color. We'll help you find it. You can't get it? We got it. And we can deliver it to you because we can deliver everywhere. TracyBeautySupply.com, where hair fantasies come true.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry
Hunt. Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live, and I'm bringing back to the line the amazing Michael Hopkins. Michael, we're going to have to get you some vet talk shout outs this morning and some vet talk shout outs as we kind of go forward with our upcoming Vet Talk radio shows. Good morning again to you on your show number 7.
Wow. Yes, wow. And you are right. This is lucky number 7. It
lucky
really
number
is.
Number 7, yes. So I'm going to bring back in just a little bit behind the scenes with Nicole Nur and Miss Katrina. We want to get everybody's feedback and just speak freely. This is our kind of our decompression time on the broadcast where we're also looking to hearing from more of you guys out there. You've got quite a few folks, veterans, who are listening to the broadcast right now. Please press 1 on your phone if you have something that you'd like to share with Michael and the panel. We'd love to hear from you guys. Also, Michael, I think it might be a good idea to get some shout-outs done from some of these wonderful folks this morning, just for your Vet Talk in general radio broadcast. So like Larry, a lot of you guys listen to the broadcast each week. And Michael and Angels, have you guys heard any feedback from some of the folks that you've told about the show? Why don't we ask the Angels this morning? Nicole, Katrina, Noor.
Yes, there's been a lot. I've heard a lot of positive feedback. Yeah,
uh-huh.
People are loving the show.
Awesome, awesome. And I think this, Noor, was that you back there?
Yeah, I was actually going to give a shout-out to Coach Kenny Smith, who's listening right now. I believe he tuned in every week, but he also said it's such a great show, it's too short. So we definitely know that we need to have way more airtime because it's just 30 minutes.
Well, no, that's not something that we're going to talk about right now, but we will look towards doing some specials down the road. We'll keep you guys informed. Okay, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Katrina, did you want to chime on in?
Oh, yeah. My sister, she always listens and give good feedback. I think she kind of might want to do a little shout-out here if she done chimed in and hit one.
Awesome. Well, we love it.
Oh,
and I've got to say, I really am very pleased. I think we have another person standing by. Let me just see if we can jump on in and get the person on the line this morning. Your phone number ends in 66. We're happy to have you on with us. You're live on the Vet Talk Radio Show. What's your name and where are you calling in from?
Good morning. My name is Rockland Bates. I'm in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm actually one of Mike's friends from our Veterans on Board meetings.
Oh, good morning. Did you say Rockland?
Yes, Rockland or Rocky.
Oh, that's a great name. Okay.
Yep, better known as Rocky.
Rocky, all right.
Yes.
Well, good morning. What would you like to say? You're on with all of us this morning, Rocky. What would you like to share?
Well, you know, just in regards to the theme of this show today, I was talking to my son the other day, and, you know, we were talking. I said, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know what 9/11 is anymore. New generation, younger kids, kids that weren't even born at the time, and they don't realize what that was and how. I think as Americans, we thought we were that a foreign country wouldn't be able to come to our country and attack us. That day kind of changed that thinking, leastwise for me, and I think for a lot of other people, that we're more vulnerable to attack than what we had previously thought. And that goes on today yet, too. I mean, we still have to kind of keep the eyes open in the back of our head, stuff like that. And as much as we don't want to think that way, that's just kind of the reality of life now. I was working at the USDA building when the attacks started, and I was sitting at my desk and listening to the radio, and I kind of heard about the planes too, and I, as others have said today, I thought there was a couple of small, you know, prop planes or something like that that crashed into one another. So I walked across the hallway over to our secretary's desk and asked her, because she had her radio on, if she had heard anything. And while we were talking, that's when the plane flew into the Pentagon building. And we heard it hit. We could see the smoke rising out the windows, but we couldn't see the Pentagon from where we're at. There's too many buildings in the way. But we were stuck in town all day. We didn't get out until way late in the evening because they had blocked off all the roads and everything. And we drove right by the Pentagon as we were leaving town. And it was quite eye-opening, quite, you know, quite a shock to the system, to say the least.
Exactly.
And I know there's a lot of people out there that have suffered through this in different ways. And I would just like to say my prayers are out to those that are still hurting from this. And I didn't have anybody that I know of, you know, a friend that was directly involved, or I shouldn't say that now because I do with VOB, with Mike and other men from our group have mentioned that they were involved with things too. So I guess I do have personal friends now that I know that have
been
affected.
Well, listen, I just want to say thank you so much, Rocky, for sharing your story this morning. And kind of, you know, as you were saying these things, you were painting a picture for me, as I'm sure it was the same sentiment with our fans around the world, literally, who are tuned in. So thank you again for being on the show today. Thank you, Rocky. All right, Michael.
Hey, thank you so
Michael
much,
Michael Hopkins. Yes, and I want to say to the fans, to the veterans, to everybody, thank you for all that you've done. To our first responders, wherever you are, thank you so much for all that you've done. The folks who've perished, to their families and what this has all meant to them 20 years later, and particularly to the folks who might not have died immediately at the September 11th attack, but later developed health issues, and we lost them as well. So we want to take a moment to pay tribute to all those folks. And to everybody, and to the angels this morning. Good job, angels. Good job. Michael, we're going to give you the last word this morning. Please take it on home. What's your sign-off sentiment this morning for everybody? Any words of comfort or encouragement?
Oh, yes. Words of comfort. I just want to say one thing real quick. I salute all the brave men and women in uniform that are defending this country. Amen.
You've done a great job. Thank you so much, folks. 20 years, we're still here. And to all the listeners and everybody who's contributed this morning on the broadcast, awesome job. We'll be back tomorrow with a regular edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show, kicking off at 6 o'clock in the morning, right here, dial the same number to tune in. And then next Tuesday, we'll have a new edition, broadcast number 8 of the Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins and the Angels. Again, that'll be next Tuesday morning at 8:30 next week. We'll see you then. Thanks again. We'll get the outro started for Vet Talk. And thanks so much. I'd love to get your feedback. We'd love to hear from you on what you think for today's Vet Talk show. So it's time for the outro. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to Vet Talk Radio with Michael Hopkins, produced by Carrie Hines exclusively for Hair Radio.
Catch live episodes each Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Central as part of the Hair Radio Morning Show lineup. And each show replays on our very own platform at www.hairradio.com. Saturday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central. This broadcast is sponsored in part by our friends at FixYourFeet.com. Rugged Evolution, Smooth Black Ink, Stimulating Roots, and our entire sponsorship family. We thank Michael Hopkins and his Angels panel and all of you. Thank you.